Morning. Now, are you ready for just another, perhaps, final chapter of the word that I brought 2 weeks ago? I just felt to wrap it up. It's not something that I have done before. I cannot recall. George, you can help me. I don't think in the 44 years of ministry I've ever preached about Satan. Pizweni, have I ever preached about the devil? Okay, now, let me help you. I'm not preaching about him, and I haven't 2 weeks ago, but I showed you the role that he plays in the hands of the sovereign God. That's where I want you to see. Let me start where we left off 2 weeks ago, and that's in Job 23, verse 10. Just listen. We've looked at it 2 weeks ago. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the purpose of trials and afflictions. I didn't like the word affliction. Just the word puts me off. Affliction. And if you know what it means, it is not a good thing to go through affliction. It involves pain. Inner pain. Affliction. Testing. Trials. But there's a purpose. And if we can tune in and be sensitive to the divine purpose, we can make it work for our good. And don't miss the purpose of difficult times. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I know there are several people going through difficult times. My word to you this morning, and I know what I'm talking about, don't miss the purpose of God in difficult times. Whether it be physically, emotionally, financially, don't miss the divine purpose. We serve a sovereign God. Do you believe with me? We serve a sovereign God. He has not lost control. Psalms 119, verse 7, I repeat this one. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know, as I was meditating, preparing this word this morning, I realized this is not the kind of word that the average Christian likes. And sadly, Lord, help me to be careful what I want to say. There are so many preaching sermons going on in the churches of the, especially the Western world today, where it's all about cheap grace, all is well. Let me give you a spiritual back rub. Jesus loves you. Just carry on. Grace will cover you. Oh, God, help us. Do I believe in the grace of God? Yes. And I believe there is grace that brings us into the family of God. Then there's grace to help us to overcome challenges in this world. Governing, overcoming grace. And this is what we're dealing about here. So, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, I closed with this last week, the week before. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. This is in the last chapter of the Bible. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison. Don't see this as a physical prison. He's about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. I will give you the crown of life. We're talking now to overcomers. Will all the overcomers in this place please say something? Amen. Now, let's look at some examples. I'm going to use three or four examples from the scripture. I'm going to let the Bible talk. Is that all right? Luke 22. Turn there with me. Luke chapter 22 from verse 31. Luke 22 from verse 31. Are we there yet? Jesus is talking here. Listen to what he says. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Stop there. How many of you are getting the message? Satan needs permission from God before he can come and interfere with your life. Come on, if you believe this, say amen and say thank you, Lord. Satan demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Dr. Segi gave me his latest book. We met at the wedding in Pretoria. And Segi's latest book is called The Threshing Floors. And it's all about separating the chaff from the wheat. And you know, typically Dr. Segi has got multiple examples of this sifting process that's on in the world. It's on. But I have prayed for you, Jesus said. I've prayed for Simon. I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, may strengthen your brothers. Hallelujah. Who is the best person to strengthen a brother? The one who has gone through it himself. Otherwise, it's just yap, 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 yap. Be okay, everything will work out. No, I don't need those kind of advice. Talk to me as somebody that has gone through the test and you've made it. Then I'm listening. Satan's attacks prove, watch this, Satan's attacks on your life prove that you have an important part to play in the plan of God. So actually, it's not a bad thing to go through testing because it proves something. God has got a plan for you. And God allows and has given permission so that we can be tested. Satan wants to defeat us. Always remember who is in control. Satan needs, and he needed God's permission to test Job. Do you remember the story? It caught me afresh when I read Job again, where Satan tried to manipulate God to bring bad experiences to Job. Satan asked God to do it. Are you with me? And God said, no, you do it. I'll give you permission, but I have boundaries. Satan wanted God to be the one doing it. But God says, no, I'll let you do it. How many of you remember the story of Joseph? Joseph in Genesis, right at the end of everything Joseph had gone through. And we know all the trials and testings of Joseph. In spite of the wonderful dreams and prophecies over his life, he ended up in prison. He was going through hell. And when he finally came out in a wonderful way, it's a wonderful story. We should look at it again. He said this to his brothers. When his brothers, they were the one who sold him. Do you remember? First put him in a pit and then they sold him to the Egyptians. And listen to this. He says in Genesis 50 verse 20, he said to them, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. How's that? Brothers. Brothers. I'm challenged to ask you, how many of you have been betrayed by brothers? I'm not asking you. You meant evil, but God meant it for good. Good things will come out from the difficult times you and I are going through. Good things will come out of it if we can keep the faith. Keep the faith. A second example. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. I'm not going to be long, so stay with me. 2 Corinthians 12 from verse 7. Now, this is a hard one. These verses I'm going to read to you. 2 Corinthians 12 from verse 7. These verses are talking about Paul, the greatest apostle that ever lived. Well, I'm saying the greatest, but he wrote most of the New Testament. He was he participated in heavenly visions. He was an apostle chosen by God. Few could rival all his achievements. This is what he says. Verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations and insights that he had, because of the surpassing greatness, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. Wat was hierdie doring se naam? A messenger of Satan. Is julle saam met my? A messenger of Satan. Let me not go into that too deep. This messenger of Satan was given to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that he might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, get this, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. Put all of this together and you have the word afflictions. Paul was going through horrible afflictions. And that makes me jump into Acts chapter 14. You don't have to turn there. It's a beautiful chapter to read. Acts chapter 14 is the story where Paul had huge challenges and opposition. And at one stage, they even stoned him. And they thought he was dead. They stoned him and they had dragged his body outside of the city. And his brothers woke him up. But then Paul came with this revelation in Acts 14, verse 22. Please hear this one as you've never heard it before. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. God is preparing a kingdom people. What does the word kingdom mean? It means a king over a domain. Kingdom. To be part of a kingdom people, you will go through many tribulations. And it will differ from people to people, from person to person. Won't be the same. But you're going to be tried and tested. You know, see, this is not the kind of message that helps a church to grow. This is not a popular message. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. But I trust I'm talking to people in the process of entering the kingdom of God fully. Amen? Third reference. I'm going to go to a third reading. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 1. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, and immorality of such a kind as does not even exist among the Gentiles. That someone has his father's wife. Now, there are translations who are very straight with this one. This guy was sleeping with his father's wife, which was possibly his mother-in-law. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. Now watch this in verse 5. I have decided, this is Paul, this is apostolic authority. I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan. Paul, delivering somebody like that to Satan? Now, what most people will think is, put him in hell to burn for eternity. That's not what it means here. It's not what it, let's see what it means. For the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So there was a positive motive. But this is talking about authority. I've handed such a person over to Satan. How does a church respond to this? Paul says, I've decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that side of him, so that his spirit could be saved. The Message Bible reads like this, that same verse. Hold this man's conduct up to public scrutiny. Let him defend it if he can. But if he can't, then out with him. It will be totally devastating to him, of course, and embarrassing to you. But better devastation and embarrassment than damnation. There explains it. Paul didn't put him into damnation, into hell forever. It was the dealings of God. Satan was allowed to do the job. Satan's attack, therefore, can be a wake-up call. Can be a wake-up call. Instead of getting up and saying, I rebuke you, devil, I'll hear the devil, all his skilt. Listen, what is God saying here? I'm worshiping the Almighty, Sovereign God. He is in charge. Why does he allow this? Is there a message? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, we read this. Again, Paul. 1 Timothy 1 verse 19. Just listen. Some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. They've made a mess of their faith and didn't listen to their consciences. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, so that they will be taught not to blaspheme. This is a bit scary. I have handed them over to Satan so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. Some of us are awakened by a tap on the shoulder, while others need a 2x4 on the head. And when God needs a 2x4, Satan gets the call. You do it. It was that? I'm getting to the end. Listen to this. 1 John 4 verse 4. This is good news. 1 John 4 verse 4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome who? Those who do not confess Jesus having come in the flesh. He's talking about the Antichrist. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he, the devil, who is in the world. Now, all the Bibles don't refer this to the devil, but there is the NCV translation. It says this, greater is he who is in you than the devil that is in the world. Now, we must trust this and embrace this morning. How many of you have the Holy Spirit in you? How many have the Holy Spirit in you? He is greater in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says, give the devil no room. Even though Satan has frightful powers, we must know that he can only be exercised under God's permission. And Satan is simply not free to wreak havoc on people at will. He is not. God's spirit who is in you is greater than the devil who is in the world. I take that this morning. Take that for yourself. What was the final outcome of Job? I'm closing with this. What was the final outcome of that horrible story of Job? You know, he was a wealthy man. He was a good man. He was happy. He was blessed. With cattle, you won't believe what all he had. And then he went through that test that I can't believe he survived. I can't believe he didn't turn and curse God. His wife suggested that he do that. He didn't. In Job 42, the very last chapter, it's good to read that, not just the beginning of Job. It says, the Lord, this is Job 42 from verse 10, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when? When he prayed for his friends. Which friends? The friends that condemned him and said, you sinned, that's why you go through what you're going through. That's a typical advice from a religious spirit. You're going through hell, and your good Christian friends will say, uh-oh, you must have done something wrong. It was a tough thing for Job. But he prayed for his friends. And when he prayed for his friends, God increased all that Job had before, double. Twofold. Double portion. Then all his brothers and all his sisters and all who had known him before came to him, and they ate bread with him in his house. They consoled him and comforted him for all the adversities that the Lord had brought upon him. And each one gave him one piece of money and each a ring of gold. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. He had 14,000 sheep, previously only 7,000, 6,000 camels, previously only 3,000, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, previously 500, and 1,000 female donkeys, previously only 500. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Job lived another 140 years. I would like to have a friend like that. Man, he would have a lot of good testimony. He could share. He could help us through difficult times because he's been there. What I want to say is this. Be encouraged. Satan's attacks will only strengthen your faith. Will strengthen your faith. And it will refine it and take it to higher levels. That's what I want. I want my faith to become stronger. I want to come out higher than I was before trials and testings. What about you? Or are you continue to moan and groan and blame the devil for this and blame this for that? Why don't you focus on God's goodness, his grace upon your life, and his plan for your life? God has a plan for each one of us. Ephesians 2:10, please remember this. Before you were born, God prepared works for you to do, a plan for your life. I've said this a million times from this pulpit. There's a master plan for every one of us. And the problems in life is when we misconnect with that master plan. We live some other plan, some dream, some other idea. In the shakings that's going on in the world now, and I'm not a prophet of doom, and I don't use doom to bless people either. So, but let me tell you this. Things are going to get worse before it gets better. Unfortunately, this is true. Creation is groaning, and people are struggling financially in many ways. Drugs are all over the place. People don't have a purpose to live. So what will they do? If somebody convinces them that if you can kill 40 people today, you will have a prize in heaven waiting for you. This is what many people are being told. If you do this, you're going to be blessed in heaven one day. Go take this gun and kill all those in that movie or that theater. It's going to get bad. But I pray, and this is my heart's burden, I want to say this to you, this is my heart's burden, is that the church of Jesus Christ will wake up and become one. Become one. And the voice of the church must be heard in the world. And we must move in authority from above to stop the evil trends in this world, because this earth belongs to God. Don't give the earth away. It belongs to the Lord. And He's given us from Genesis 1 the power to rule and multiply and rule in this earth. And God wants to restore His original mandate through the corporate Son. Let's all stand together. Lord, we've sung in the beginning, Holy Spirit, come. Fill the atmosphere. Fill the Word. Fill the Word in our hearts. Holy Spirit, make us aware that wherever we go, that atmosphere, that presence can go with us, can protect us, can save us, can help us make the right decisions and right choices in life. Lord, we speak a special prayer over our people, our children, our families, wherever they are. Lord, that they will have an immunity from above. At the same time, we pray, Lord, if you find it necessary to allow Satan and give him permission to test us, test our children, test our families, Lord, we know that you will stay in control. And we pray there will be a wonderful, positive response. And people will see that God has a plan for their life. Amen.